This finale is a Christian Christmas carol, The Voice of Christmas Future. It's going to look more like The Voice of Christian Future. I had a video for dramatic effect, but it was too long, and it's Christmas Eve. But if I were to summarize today's message in a video, I'm going to do it here live instead of doing the video. So what's the difference? I don't know, but that's what I'm going to do. You ready? This is the Christmas vibe I want you to feel this morning. And I'm going to keep weaving it in somehow by the grace of God. You ready? Simba, you've forgotten who you are. Church, you've forgotten who you are. This Christmas is one of those moments, say, remember who you are. You are called to be more than you've been. Who feels that this year? This is one of those services that you don't want to leave unchanged today. You don't want to leave unchallenged. I look like Santa Claus, but I'm not as cuddly. Nope. Not. Simba, you've forgotten who you are. Honestly, that's the theme of Christmas Voice Future. That's what he's saying today, I believe. So the collective we's, us we's, I think we've forgotten who we are. Say, I am the church. So I want you to really ask yourself today. Now, we have a tendency, not that I see it from behind the pulpit ever, but there's a tendency in some churches. When I make a good point, someone will go like this to their neighbor. Hey, Pastor Larry, you hear that? He's like, yeah, I heard that, baby. You hear that? You know? We do that, right? I want us to hear something today for us. Just for us. Something for us this morning, right? The Christian Christmas Carol gives us this character, Scrooge, who kind of reps all mankind. And on Christmas night, Scrooge is presented with an opportunity, right? Christmas Eve night. The opportunity, the choices and chances to change his life. Ever have those moments? Ever make a wrong decision in those moments? Yeah. Yeah. Before Jesus, every time. You know, I'm going to do my best to stay balanced today because I feel there's a passion and emotion that's involved with it. There's things that just hit me passionately, and I have a hard time dialing it back, you know, and say, well, try to be like Jesus. I'm not going to flip any tables over. I'm not fashioning any whips. But I really feel like there's sometimes you have to have walk in passion. And if you don't walk in passion, you're not really walking in God. Because he's emotional and passionate. Doc was teaching me this week that everything that we do has a emotional pathway in the brain. It was pointing to God. And so when we're emotional and passionate, and we love deeply, we detest things, we also are like God. And I feel like God wants to stir up emotion in us again a little bit. I'll try not to cry in front of y'all, but it's easy to do, Al. You know me. So you need to run me a tissue box. Got you. Thank you, baby. What if today, like Scrooge, this was your third knock? The third knock of God's Spirit in your life. It just could be that kind of day. You have no idea. It could be that kind of day. Say, what if? So the voice of Christmas future, Scrooge gets a glimpse into what it looks like if Scrooge keeps going, if mankind keeps going, if I keep going in the direction I'm headed. And it didn't look good, right? And it ended with this, Scrooge alone, leaving behind a negative impact on people, right? Sooner than Scrooge realized, too, his change was going to be made. His name was going to be changed. I think I got a picture what his name gets changed to, right? Back there should be a tombstone, yeah, right? R.I.P., his name's Rip now. Rest in peace. Your time's up. Tick-tock. Make a choice, Scrooge. What you going to do? Right? And so, say Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Today could be good for us. It's good to get a glimpse of what could be. And maybe like Scrooge, it should impact us for this season, right? No big deal. I just want you to think of it as urgent. I want you to think of it as maybe a last chance. This is the finality. To put you in the mood. It's a good thing I said that when you're over there, because when I say stuff like put you in the mood, he cuddles up to her every time. So he's just, keep these two over there. Just you be ushering today. Don't be thinking about the mood. She's over there. Come on, Wilson Croft, pull it together. Say, get a glimpse. Get a glimpse today of Christmas Eve. Get a glimpse. Here's categories. Get a glimpse. You can pull down Scrooge because he's too fun. Get a glimpse if for people, anyone who has never known him before. If you're in this church and you've never really ran into authentic Jesus and realized why he came and what he came to do, I play today as your day. Like, don't walk away with that opportunity. Gone. Anybody else make advantage of that opportunity, raise your hand. So if someone wants to, they'll see other people did it. If you've ever accepted Jesus, go ahead and raise your hand. Right, boom. See, we all had opportunities, right? We took advantage of the opportunity. I don't want you to get a glimpse of the other things I'm saying if you haven't got a glimpse of Jesus. And maybe there'll be a chance after service we can talk about it. Second, people I think should get a glimpse are those who have directly made a choice to know him better, Pastor Justin. To know him better. To get a glimpse maybe for people who once made a choice but did not keep following him and did not like where they are now, and they need a direction change fast. I ain't looking at nobody, but you need to hear that, right? If that's you, get a glimpse. Get a glimpse for all of us who know it's time to focus on our purpose again, and we've been off dilly-dallying and doing other things. This is the season we get focused up on purpose again, right? Simba, remember who you are. Wouldn't it be great if you get a glimpse of your future, where it could and should be, and it changed the world? That's what the calling is. Your future is supposed to change the world. Our Christmas Carol overview is a look at mankind, who's chosen, Pastor Justin taught us, ignorance over truth and stays in constant want, right? So I began to think about that when we left here on Sunday, about want. And then if you look up want, really the root of want is lust and envy. Yeah, sure, when we hear lust, we think instantly a bunch of people who need to get off these apps on their phone and stop stumbling into the stupid stuff they stumble in on a regular basis and clean it up. That's a lust, yes. But that's not the only lust, right? It's more than sexual. There's lust for things you don't have. Lust for things we don't have. Humanity is longing for a better life around the corner that I can have or someone else has. Come on, I'm talking to church this morning. This is important stuff. We got to get, sometimes you got to, like, you shouldn't have started saying something nice to me this morning, right? Because you reminded me I was wearing a tie, Randy. And then it made me think of Sister Jokum. And she pulled my ear, and it got me in a feisty mood. Got me feisty. It's Randy's fault, absolutely. You're right, Joey. You're so right. The want of too much self-care. The want of too much self-care and self-focus is on the rise. Now, this is from a professional counselor who makes his money from helping people with self-care, get healthy individuals, make healthy marriages, make family. Search the individual. I believe it 100%. But when you're so focused on your healthcare, it's all about your healthcare and about me and about how, if once I'm healthy, I can do, you're not perfect. You're always in getting healthcare mode. Sometimes care is want, too much, right? It's great. Get healed up. Stop procrastinating. Go be part of the bigger plan. Some of us were idiots. It's me. But Jesus came into my life and I got saved. Born again. Any other ex-idiots out there? I took a chance on something Jesus had given me. We, I guess, have been Scrooge of mankind, and I want us to accept the invitation today to a different future. I wish I had pictures of some of your faces the day you got saved. Like, I'll start crying and thinking about it because I know some of your stories. And if I could see the moment that you saw Jesus for the first time, no matter how ugly, like, it was, mine was pretty ugly. I had a series of ugly that was, you know, if it was a Netflix series, it'd be super ugly, rated extra mature, don't watch this, we're going to burn it later. But God came to that guy. Anybody? Jesus came to that guy. So I thought I'd put up, it's because, you know, it's a heavy topic, Christmas. I thought I'd put up some happy pictures. I want to show some redemption pictures. I got a Scrooge, an old Scrooge here. But after he encounters and makes a decision, look at that. Change his face. Look at him. Look at another one. I got another old Scrooge. Give me one. There he is. Look how happy Donald Duck is now. He found Jesus. All right, boom. revelation. I'm going to change my life. I'm going to, yes, voice for the future. I'm fixing it. I got another one, one of my favorites. Yeah, right there. That's my guy right there. That's my Scrooge. Little tiny Tim, you know. That's the look in their face. Look at the difference in their countenance, you know. And why is that important? I think being a disciple of Jesus Christ, being born again, should be visible in our lives. Should be visible in our lives. Not in, well, it's visible in your life. No, remember, we're hearing for ourselves this morning. Do not elbow anybody. Don't get on Facebook and go, oh, you should be here. No. Jesus made the way for redemption for all generations who accept it, right? And accept an invitation to live in a different world. God is about changing man and establishing God's plan for the future. It always starts in the inside first, right? I'm going to cross-pollinate movies for a second because there's a line in it that I love that shows when you get a perspective change. And I feel like that's today. I want us to get perspective change. But give me my favorite movie of all time. I got it. Right there he is. Right? There's one point he comes running in. And if you never watch it, you should watch at least 400 or 500 times like I have. You really should. But he comes running in. And the police officers are waiting because he didn't have enough money and bank. And he's going to arrest him. And the police officer goes, George, I'm going to go to jail. He goes, isn't that wonderful? I'm going to jail. How many, when you got taken away to jail? No. You guys that were in prison, don't raise your hand. You're okay. But how many went, woo, yeah. Why? Perspective change, right? Because he saw what the future was going to be without him, and he'd rather be in that doing what he's supposed to do. His perspective changed. Wonderful life. It's a wonderful life. All the young people need to know. Lord, help the young people. Seeing God should refocus our priorities. How about that? Sometimes we have our perspective changed, and we can see the future he wants to us, right? Say this with me. Sometimes I need a perspective change. I am the church, right? So let's settle in deep. They made me teach this topic. I may never get a topic again. I will attempt to weave God's word into these special speakers and use their scriptures to take us on a train track where I think he wants to go today. Pastor Jody used Genesis 3:9. Pastor Jody got up and talked to us about, she said, then the Lord God called the man, said, where are you? Where are you? Where are you regarding your own separation from him? If you've never accepted Jesus, where are you with God? Like, where are you personally? Not where is your spouse? Where is your mom? Where is your dad? Where is your kids right now? Like, where are you with God? Where are you? I felt to impress from the Lord this season to ask us again, where are you? Pastor Jody, thank you. Pastor Larry challenged us to ask ourselves this question. Do we really apply the facts of Jesus in our lives? Do we just know them? So good. Do we apply the facts? Do we just know them? And then Pastor Justin asked us this. Have you chosen to know him more? Have you chosen to know him more, right? Chosen at like what? At all personal cost? At the expense of your own desire? Have you sought to know him so much more no matter what the crowd around you thinks, cares, or their opinion is? I remember that happened to me when I first found Jesus. I shed everybody, but I did it in a bad way, some of it, but I had to shed. There was a lot of, I needed to shed some stuff, and I just shed it. Why? Because hey, I found truth, and I wanted all of him. 100% all in, changed my life. I'm an idiot. I ruined other people's lives. I'm ruining my life. I'm ruining the world around me, honestly. What benefit am I? You should snuff me out like a bug. You love me? That's crazy. And then my life began to slowly change. And then you come into this pattern, you become a Christian. Robotronic Christian. He says, time to stop that. It's time to stop it. There are three great questions for this season. Where are you? How do you handle and apply the facts? And have you chosen to know him? Maybe my question today, the voice of Christ's future, is where are you headed? Now, yeah, where are you headed? And generally the direction. I think I got the questions up there. Yeah, where are you headed? Christmas future. I want us to understand that we have the hope of the world inside of us as members of his church. And we are called to be bearers of light to the world. Jesus did it. What was his next plan? Jesus did what he came to do. For all mankind, for all generations, for eternity. What was his next plan? Say, I am the church. Man, we got to get back on it, don't we? We're the plan for the world. We're the plan for the world, dude. We are. Who would put us in charge of anything? Seriously. Our wives have to pin notes to us when we go to the store. We don't forget celery. Plan for the world. Say, I am the church. Isaiah 9:2. The people who walk in darkness, the people who walk in darkness, the people who walk in darkness. Been there? Anybody? Bueller? They will see a great light. They will see a great light. For those who live in the land of deep darkness, a light will shine. Crazy lost. The question was, I want the right side of the room to say this to the left side of the room. You guys, wow, dyslexia. Right side of the room. Left side of the room. Okay, right side of the room. I want you to say this to the left side of the room. My future will shine his light. You ready for this side? Ready for this? Say, me too. There you go. Whether you choose or decide to even be involved or make a dark future for yourself, the fact is a light is shown and a light will shine. Doesn't matter what the paper says. Don't matter what the next political rally. It don't matter. A light has shone and a light will shine. So I want you to highlight that in your heart. I want you to ponder those questions. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in the land of darkness, a light will shine. It's important. It's what we're supposed to do. Your future is to be part of that plan. The voice of Christmas future is saying, I need your light again. I need your light. I came, I did, I left, now go. And we get stuck. Right. It's time to be a little bit brighter. Time to get a great light, right, to the darkness. Say, I'm the church. That's my future. That's my future. Remember, Simba, who you are. 2 Corinthians 6:14. You know, as we think about the changes, like to become light from what I am now, but from what I was then, it wasn't like this moment of, wow, once I was serving the devil hardcore, looked just like him. 4 seconds later, I'm floating above the clouds, prophesying, brownie to everyone, everyone's getting healed, you know, multiplying loaves and fish just like Jesus. You know, I was rolling up. I didn't have a bad thought in my mind. I was just floating. Yeah, no. It's a process. And sometimes we get stuck at a certain level of the process and say, well, that's fine enough, isn't it? And he says, it's getting darker. I need you brighter. I don't need you dimmer, I need you brighter. And that's the challenge, right? It takes changes in us and around us for that to happen. It takes changes in us and around us for that to happen. Around us is tough sometimes. 2 Corinthians 6:14. Do not be unequally bound together with unbelievers. Do not be unequally bound together with do not be unequally mismatched alliances with them and consistent with your faith. What's he saying? It's time to be more consistent. Light to them. Don't bond with the darkness. Go. I'm not saying don't hang out with your boys that are foolish sometimes, but be light. Don't be fool. No. That's the part. See what I'm saying? Darkness is there. Go take some light there, but go take some light there. Because, well, I'm with my boys. Well, do you know Jesus? Why? Because Jesus loves your boys, and they're going someplace you don't want them headed if you don't bring the light. Be like Jesus when you're around those folks. Be careful not to make alliances or relationships that make commitment to folks like that. That's the word. You're going to hurt. I got shredded this week from a friend, 40 years plus, just shredded my soul this week. Almost just a blither may even be able to function. Ever have one of those moments? Lord, how am I going to walk from this? He said, hey, you're trying to be light. It's cool. Don't be unequally yoked. You got too involved. Like you're not his responsibility. You try to clean it up. Your job is to be light, not his best friend. For what partnership can righteousness have with lawlessness? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? There's some tough stuff to swallow, man. Being his plan for the future means changes sometimes, right? The challenge from Jesus with our future is it's now time to be light, not later. Because Scrooge found out later doesn't always come. Tick tock, tick tock. You say the world looked dark to you? Absolutely. I don't even watch the news anymore where it makes me sad. Or angry. It's like a similar emotion for me. You know, what are you? I'm sangry. Why? You watching the news? Mm-hmm. But the darkness is out there. Well, they just need Jesus. They absolutely do. Who's going to bring him? Who's going to be that? Say, I am the church. Zechariah 12:10. There's bottles covering up the time, so I'll never know when we're done. Then I will pour out the spirit of grace and prayer in the family of David and on the people of Jerusalem. And they will look on me from whom they have pierced and mourn for him for an only son. And they will grieve bitterly for him as a firstborn son who has died. Say hard facts. Why didn't they bring it up now at Christmas? Because that's his purpose. And it's tough. And I often wondered, ever wonder like, God, why they have to be that way? And you go back to Hebrews and the Lamb, the covenant. But I want to share an emotional part as a father. Have you, like, I bet Dr. Heidi and I have experienced miscarriage when we first got married. I don't know if you ever have. If you feel brave enough to raise your hand. Yeah, it was hard. Super hard. But imagine have a son grow up that you love and then give him over to sacrifice for people who don't care. Do that. Not on your life. I wouldn't. I would have failed. I'm aborting that mission. No, I ain't doing that. It's my boy. He wants us to remember that part. That's why he came. Like, he didn't come to stay a baby and the gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and the camels, and the star. And he came to be the light of the world and to separate light from darkness, to rescue our souls from that and to send us to do the job. That's the purpose, right? That's why. Zechariah 12:14. All the families that remain, each by itself and their wives by themselves, each with an overwhelming individual regret for having blindly rejected their Messiah. That's hard facts. It's really hard when the gospel is the best thing mankind could possibly have in me as the church we serve it poorly. You know, Dr. Heidi, I'll share an ethos thing with you. I probably shared it before, but we're going to share it here publicly. This is one of the things we talk to people about. And I want to relate to the gospel for us because sometimes this is the church. We have the best meal in the world, right? I'm getting ready to have a steak later. We spent some money on it. I'm looking forward to it being taken care of just right. I mean, sizzling, center cut. I spent some money on this steak. You know, what if I wanted to give it away to you? Anybody want that steak? And perfectly cooked. What if I came out and I was going to give it to Miss Randy? I'm picking you because all day long you've been there, so I'll just do it. And I'll throw it at her, and it bounces off her chest and rolls down here on the ground under Ed's foot. And he's like, what's that? You going to want to eat that? She says, yeah, I love me some steak. That's a good girl you got there. Yeah, 5 second rule. But in general, when you're at the restaurant, what if you're at the restaurant and it's being kicked around? You want to? No, right? You're like, no. Wrong. I want a steak that's not off the ground. You'd be upset. What if I took that same steak then? What if I blended it? And poured it all out of place. She's like, don't get that away from me. It's a good meal. 100% same meat. What's the difference between her wanting it, not wanting it? How it's served badly. How has Jesus been served to the world for the longest time? In a box of garbage religion? Or a bunch of just rules? Or a bunch of frolic with everyone to be loved the one you're with? He's none of that stuff. He is the light of the world. He says, so are you. And we got to start serving that. That's Merry Christmas. That's the Christmas future we're called to be. That's what we serve. So where are you? Where are you headed? The future is here. It's right here. We have the hope of the world. The absolute answer. And we know it's facts because how could our lives have changed? Are we perfect? Absolutely not. But we're not what we used to be. Why? Jesus. Jesus. Authentic, real Jesus. Right? 1 Timothy 1:1. This letter is from Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, appointed by the command of God. God our Savior and Christ Jesus, who gives us hope, making us hope containers. All right, I got it. He gives it to us. We're hope containers now. We are hope containers. Now, a couple times this week, if you'd have come to me at a certain time of day, I wouldn't have been a very good hope container for you. I'm just being honest. I throw myself under the bus, right? My boy, I throw myself under the bus. I wouldn't have been a good hope container. I was in one of those moods like, no, I'm going to go buy 40 acres and no one's going to be allowed out. There's going to be giant fences and moats and alligators. Yeah, I was like, yeah, that sounds great, Pastor. No, I was not in a place that had hope. I was sad and hurt. But I still have hope. I was able to call from the hope he gave me, and then someone else gave me some more hope. And then I began to go, my job is to pass out hope. What am I doing sitting here like this? I am the church, right? All right. 1 John 5:13. I have written this to you who believe. That's us. If you don't believe, you're off the hook right here. To you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know you have eternal life. That's confidence. Great to give us, right? It's great to have confidence in your future. Scrooge didn't have confidence. The difference between us and Scrooge, right this second, we know without a shadow of doubt, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you have an eternal hope. Your future, that part of your future is set. But then we just kind of stop. Well, I got my future. Finally bought the life insurance policy. Paid out on Jesus. Doubled down. Whew, going to heaven. Got the life insurance. If that's all Jesus is, we miss the whole plan. Future is everything. The future is in the glory of heaven. No, the future is tomorrow with you and your family, bringing light to some of your family members that desperately need it. And they don't need it shoved down their throat. They don't need it blended up. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Every second, pour it all over them. They don't need it. But they do need authentic Jesus. They do need authentic light. They do need authentic love, right? You could know where you're headed. That's great. Where are we both headed? You know, that matters. Where we are right now and where we're headed matters. It matters because your trajectory impacts other people's direction. Your trajectory impacts other people's direction. And it's supposed to. We are supposed to. And I could live as a hermit. I could. God, you made me that way. Why in the world would you put me in front of people on a regular basis? Do they know Pastor Sean's a hermit? God said, I'm going to send you, hermit, and to the people. You better bring me. Yeah. That's the church, right? That's where we are. Our trajectory matters. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. For it is by grace, God's remarkable compassion and favor drawing you to Christ, by grace that you have been saved. I didn't do anything to earn it. It's impossible to earn it. It's by grace alone. Saved, actually delivered from judgment. Saved, actually delivered from judgment and given eternal life through faith. Given eternal life through faith. And this salvation is not of yourselves, but it is a gift of God. Not a result of your works, nor your attempts to keep the law. Listen, I tried that. See, well, you can tell I'm a Christian because look, I do everything right. You're arrogant. Right there, you're wrong. Go back to go. Do not collect $200. Straight to jail. your attempts to keep the law, so that no one will be able to boast or take credit in any way. He alone gets the glory. That's the great thing about Jesus. Like, no matter how great your light is, it's his light that changed you. It's not your light. Right? It's not our light. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ, reborn from above, spiritually transformed. Are we spiritually transforming? Are we stuck? Man, it's 1986. Renewed. Here's this one. Ready for this one? Is it up there? Ready to be used. Ready to be used. And half of us here in the room, like, I've been used my whole life. Just a dishcloth on the floor of life. No, when you come to Jesus, you go ready to be used. Maybe as a dishcloth on the floor of life. But you got to change your perspective. He loves the washers of feet. Yeah. It's time to think of it that way. Ready to be used? Right? What if at some pastoral Christmas party, jihad gets declared, we're all wiped out? Who's going to step up? Well, there it went. They're ready to be used, but I'm talking to the church. Like, it doesn't matter to me if I got five left, but I want those who are ready to be used. And those who are ready to be used with light. And I said, I got a talent. I'm ready to be used. No, no, no. Arrogance. Go back to, do not collect $200. Back to jail. I'm talking ready to be used. Who put themselves through the process of change my character, work on me, build me, Father. Why? So I can shine? No, so you can shine through me. Right? Ready to be used for good works, which God prepared for us beforehand, so that we would walk in them. What's our future? We're supposed to walk in them. It's time to start stepping. This is the season to start stepping. Say, my future is to be light. The world needs more of that, right? Because you're the church. 2 Corinthians 4:16. Therefore, I better get a drink. Therefore, we do not become discouraged. Oh, no, ruin that. Lord, does that say that? Really? What's it mean? I'll look it up in the Greek. Oh, it means discouraged? Darn. I thought it'd be like, do not eat too much chocolate. That'd be a great translation, I guess. Therefore, do not become discouraged, spiritless, disappointed, or afraid. And sometimes that all happens on Saturday night before I get here. Don't anybody, come on. Anybody not been this week? Please raise your hand because we really would like to clap. Not been discouraged this week? Spiritless, disappointed, or afraid? Oh, there's not a hand in sight. Why? Though our outer self is progressively wasting away. I can hear you go, Pastor Sean, this is not very Merry Christmas right now. Though our outer shell self is progressively wasting away, yet our inner self is being progressively renewed day by day. Say this, I'm transforming into great light. You got saved, you became light, but you're all in transition now. It's not about your heavenly passage and about your scripture magnets on your refrigerator and what your Facebook posts look like. He's making you light this year because there's darkness that needs you. So the transformation's got to begin. We got to become greater light. It's time. Left side, you ready? Left side of the room? Say this. That's your future, right side. Right side, say, go get it. That's what I'm talking about. For our momentary light distress, this is passing trouble. You don't even sweat it. It's passing trouble. Our momentary light distress is passing trouble. It's producing for us. Trouble's producing for us an eternal weight of glory. Producing for us a fullness beyond all measure. Surpassing all comparisons. a transcendent splendor. He's talking about you. Like, this is not a Jesus quote chapter. He's talking about this is what's supposed to happen to us. All those words, that's happening in our lives. This is the year we start shining up more. It's not about perfection. It's about releasing love of God that we have to other people without critically chomping each other to death while we're doing it. It's not my notes, but I just thought I'd say it. A free one. An endless blessedness so that we look not at the things. Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas. Look at the things. I need more things. You need more things. Buy the things. All the things. Nothing wrong with things. That's not what Christmas is about. So we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are unseen. For the things which are visible are temporal, but the things which are invisible are everlasting and imperishable. John 8:12. Once more, Jesus addressed the crowd. Now, I thought about this. I wonder how many, like Scrooge, had no idea that's the last day they were going to hear from him. I would ask morbid stats of the rate of people passing on a regular basis. And none of us knows. We've had in this church, friends and family, scarred all of us. You don't know. And it's just time to stop messing around. Don't you feel it? It's just time to stop messing around. Too many things, too long, doing stupid things. That we, the church, it's fine. You know, we're just being church, great church to come to. But it's time now to do more than that. It's time to be more than that. Not new season, the church. Say, I am the church. Right, it's on us, individuals, right? He said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness. John 8:12, I'm sorry. He will follow me and will not walk in the darkness. He will follow me and will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. He's talking about his future church, shining, right? Jesus addresses his future gifts to the world, and he tells them a few things and his desires for them and about their Christmas future. And I thought the best place he does that is in Matthew 5. So we're getting near the end. Matthew 5. 5:13 through 16, I think. It says, you are, point left side, point the right side. You are, now point back. So you are. You are. You. You are the salt of the earth. Say, I am the salt of the earth. The salt preserves things and makes it taste better. Do I preserve things in Christ in people's lives? Do I tear it down? When they are around me, do they taste God or they spit me out of their mouth? Say, I am the salt. Yeah, I am the salt. And the salt. And if salt has lost its taste, lost its purpose, how can it be made salty? For it is no longer good for anything. Wow. I hear that like in that forever, anything. You know, it's no longer good for anything. Sometimes the truth stings. It's time to brighten up. It's no longer good for anything but to be thrown out and walked on by people. You are, say I am. You are the light of Christ to the world. You are the light of Christ to the world. You are the light of Christ to the world. You are the light of Christ. Now, I purposely try not to look at anybody's face anytime I ever preach except Wilson Croft. And occasionally Dr. Heidi, when she's going, settle down. Other than that, I just try not to, because you don't want to people think you're staring at them, but I want to look in all your eyes and I want you to hear that. And I'm going to try to look in your face. You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world, and you are the light of the world. And everyone knows you're the light of the world, so Allie, I'm already like, you are the light of the world. You're the light in your company. Some of you are the only light in your companies. Some of you are the only lights in your families. You are the light of the world. You're the light of the world. Wherever you go, Shaunzy, you're the light. You're the salt, baby. He said it. Light of the world. 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 Bob, light of the world. Light of the world. Light of the world. Light of the world. Light of the world, light of the world. Light of the world, light of the world, light of the world. Light of the world. Man, the talents that you have, dude. If I had half of Caleb's talents, I feel like I could be famous and leading people to Jesus. This dude's talented. He doesn't know it. Sage knows it. His family knows it. You're the light of the world. Light of the world. Light of the world. Light of the world. Say, I am. The light of the world. That's a quote from Jesus. It's a Jesus quote. Our job now is to be light to everyone in the world. That's the hard part. So I didn't feel so bright this week. I felt a little dim, a little crunchy, maybe a little aggressive. Definitely not light, anyways, than that. It's a little more like a razor blade that's been left in the water too long. You know, just not good. I was muddled light, exactly. Our future is to be carriers of hope, of eternity, and carriers of light. So the questions are, where are you? Where are you? How do you handle these facts? Have you chosen to know him more? In what direction are you headed? He redeemed your purpose, is still waiting for you. How many feel that you know you've not finished your purpose yet? Come on, it's waiting. Like, it's waiting. It's waiting. You're the light of the world. If not, it says we're good for nothing. Let's continue in Matthew 5, 13 through 16. Jesus says we're salt and light. He says, a city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men. Shining his light is your purpose. I want right side. Say the left side. Say, I'm a gift. Yes. Say it again. I'm a gift. Left side, say, you certainly are. Yeah. See how sweet they are to you guys? You guys are always pointing at them. Let your light shine before men in such a way. Let your light shine to people in such a way that they may see the good deeds and moral excellence. Some lights need some work, right? Some moral excellent work. They may see your good deeds and moral excellent work and recognize and honor and glorify who? Your Father who's in heaven. Man, how did you come out of that bad mess? Jesus. Man, it wasn't just, what do you mean by Jesus? You don't even know. Sit down. Let me get you a cup of coffee. I'll tell you the story. You'll be scared for half of it. Right? People need to see those changes in our lives. Not perfection. There's only one perfect Jesus. The rest of us are going to blow up miserably from time to time. But what do we do then? Do we stay there? Do we stay there? Because I feel like the church has stayed there. We used to be a good prize fighter. We could take a punch. I used to be able to take a punch and an insult. I had something hurt my heart so bad this week, I spent 2 days in a funk. I said, how did you get so wimpy? What's the matter with you? Book up. You're the life of the world. I don't feel like it. I feel like chocolate. A good book. Mm-hmm. Our purpose is to be light. And our changes are meant to be shined so people can glorify God. Not to write a new book and for you to become famous. No. So when they look at you, they can say, this is what God does with what once was dark. And now it's become light and you brought light to me. Thanks for the steak. Right? God's hope, Christmas miracle is you. It says, our lights should be shining in such a way that they may see the good deeds and moral excellence and recognize and honor and glorify our Father in heaven. So, church, Christ's plan for you in the future. I want you to think this season, where am I in it? If I haven't finished my purpose, then where am I in it? Where am I in it? Am I attempting to know him more this year? Or am I just going to steadfast? I got my regular devotion I've been doing since I was, you know. Yeah. Or am I going to go for him more this year? Where am I headed? The direction you're headed is where you're going to end up. Think about that, all the ways it applies. The direction you're headed in is the way you're going to end up. Some of us need to change direction in a heartbeat. In a heartbeat. Like the direction we're headed. If you're heading in the direction you're headed, aren't you blazing a trail of light for other people to follow? Right. You follow him, they follow you, and then they start to follow him. It's the plan. It's the Christmas message. The light of the world came into the world and said, I am the light of the world. Now you go be it. That's Christmas. Our future is salt. Our future is light. We enhance. We preserve. We make better. We shine brighter. When things are hard and dark, we don't sit 2 days on your couch and be sad. You stand up and say, Father, use me. Because if I go down, I'm mad into the darkness. That's not my calling. So if maybe that's you today, any of those categories, and you feel like you want to know him more, you know there's more light for you in the land of darkness, and maybe you're struggling with some darkness. If you're ready to respond to your future, whoever wants to respond, I'm going to give you an opportunity at the end of service. I'm going to play a song. And it's going to be like kind of like you don't do this on Sundays anymore. These are like encounter service moments. These are special. I don't typically do this. And I'm going to let everyone else that wants to go, go. And Pastor Larry and Sharon, our connections pastors, who are amazing, will hug and say hello to you as you head out the door and get some coffee, cocoa. We're going to have cocoa after we have our prayer time in a second anyway, so you won't get gypped on the cocoa. It'll be there. But maybe you're feeling a tug in your heart and you need a little bit longer with him. You know, I need to talk to God about something. There's been some darkness. I need to give him so I can be light. I lost some hope. Or, darn it, I'm ready. I'm ready to start this process, and I need to be more than I have been. And this next year, I'm going to be the best salt light I've ever been. And if that's you, I'm going to invite you to come up after I close. Fill the front. Kirsten has my song list. I gave you the phone back there. And we're just going to have a minute with God. Does that sound okay? All right. I'm going to release this in a second for the cocoa folks and the hugs. And then we'll have some prayer time. Father, what a privilege to be in Apache Junction with people like this. I pray their Christmases for people that stay for prayer or leave, Father, would be some of the best they've ever had this year with their family and friends. Lord, it'd be some of the deepest, most impactful moments that they have. These would be kind of moments that they have memories forever. And I pray you do something in them, Lord God, so amazing and magnificent, they couldn't help but shine this year. Shine to be all over them, Lord. We release them into your care, and we ask you to bless them, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.